Good day and welcome. I'm Paul Levoy, Editor-in-Chief of Ascend Magazine.
And I'm Sarah Ribbon, Government Affairs Director at Thentia.
And this is Week in Brief, which is normally your weekly roundup of the biggest news in licensure, regulation, and digital government. But as it's the end of 2023, we'll be providing your year in review, looking back at some of the top trends and themes as we close out 2023 and look ahead to 2024.
And just a small apology, I have a cold this week, so you might hear that in my voice during this podcast. I think the first trend worth noting is regulatory reforms being made to licensee oversight. This is something we've seen mostly in the United States. States are restructuring how licensee boards are organized. Now, this has been met with some pushback, so discussions are ongoing.
What kind of restructuring? Can you give us an example?
In 2023, several states took steps to modify their licensing boards. One example is Iowa's Senate File 514, which overhauled its regulatory structure, including cutting the governor's cabinet by nearly half. The legislation also moved programs across four state agencies under a revamped Department of Inspections, Appeals, and Licensing, or DIAL. It also created a Boards and Commissions Review Committee, which put forth a proposal to consolidate or eliminate 119 of the state's 256 boards and commissions. That has received some pushback and will be considered further in 2024.
You mentioned pushback. What can you tell us about that?
Well, let's look at New Hampshire. Governor Chris Sununu intended to implement sweeping reforms, but many of his plans were blocked by the legislature. In Nevada, Governor Joe Lombardo had issued an executive order in January intending to freeze new regulation and eliminate some licensing requirements. But as the July deadline approached, Governor Lombardo actually lifted the freeze and did not name any specific regulations to eliminate.
Seems like a bit of a mixed bag of outcomes this year. Where do things stand going into 2024?
Well, we'll definitely have our eye on a couple of other states. We've spent a lot of time talking about Wisconsin, where politicians have different ideas on how to address workforce challenges. Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat, called a special session to take on reforms, but the Republican-led legislature scrapped his proposals and instead passed a measure they knew the governor would veto. Georgia is also making changes to its regulatory structure. This year, Georgia's Workforce Study Committee approved a final report for the full Senate to consider during the 2024 legislative session. Lieutenant Governor Burton Jones also rolled out the Red Tape Initiative, intended to reduce barriers for small business and professional license applicants in the state. These changes will also go into effect in 2024.
Throughout the year, regulatory bodies in various jurisdictions and professional domains deliberated on potential new novel routes to licensure. Notably, such considerations were prominent within the U.S. legal profession, known for its traditionally extensive and rigorous training and credentialing procedures. Regulatory authorities in California, Oregon, and Washington State, and beyond, advanced alternative pathways to licensure for law school graduates, exempting them from the traditional bar exam.
I remember talking about Washington. Can you tell us about the new pathways proposed there?
In Washington, proposals include apprenticeship programs and skills coursework options. The Washington Supreme Court considered a program offering options for law school graduates to obtain credentials without taking the bar exam. Proposed pathways include a six-month apprenticeship program supervised by experienced lawyers and completing 12 credits of coursework with 500 hours of hands-on legal work. Both of these pathways require a portfolio of work for licensure.
You also mentioned California. How do their moves differ?
The California State Bar endorsed the Portfolio Bar Exam, a work experience program exempting law school graduates from the conventional bar exam. The pathway involves 700 to 1,000 hours of supervised legal practice alongside experienced attorneys, culminating in a portfolio submission for evaluation.
What about outside the legal profession? Are there changes being made to other licensing pathways?
Alternative pathways for teacher licensure, in particular, established in various states for over two decades, continue to gain momentum amid challenges in teacher recruitment and retention. So in June, the Virginia Board of Education introduced new rules enabling prospective teachers to obtain provisional licensure through the iTeach online program while working towards full licensure.
You sort of mentioned some of the challenges that those alternative pathways intend to address, but can you tell us more about what we're trying to accomplish here?
Well, these pathways aim to address multiple challenges, such as streamlining the traditionally lengthy and intensive licensure process, providing flexibility for candidates, and also responding to the needs of the professions, including legal and education sectors.
So what do you think is likely to continue into 2024?
Well, I expect the trend of finding new paths to licensure will continue into the new year. Some professions are increasingly realizing that the traditionally accepted journey to professional licensure, if we can call it that, can take many different paths and get the same results in terms of competence and professional readiness.
From universal licensure to enabling rapid licensure for out-of-state or even out-of-country applicants, many regulators are considering ways to increase speed to license and make licensing more accessible.
Let's start with universal licensure, something I know we've covered a lot. What does this mean?
Well, in New Hampshire, for example, as part of his proposed licensing reforms, Governor Sununu included a measure to adopt universal recognition of licensed professionals in other states. Florida legislators considered a move, Senate Bill 1364, to offer universal licensure under specific conditions. Arizona had actually passed universal licensing measures in 2019, but this year, the Common Sense Institute released a study that found its law could increase employment by nearly 16,000 workers, boost state GDP by $1.5 billion, and increase the state's population of working-age adults.
Okay, and on a slightly different note, we talked at length through the year about interstate compacts, which I know strive to achieve similar outcomes. What are the takeaways there?
Yes, as we've discussed, there was a lot of growth across interstate compacts this year. The Interstate Teacher Mobility Compact became active in July this year after 10 states adopted legislation to implement it. Florida, Kansas, and Colorado were among the states that passed legislation in 2023. Over 11 states joined the Counseling Compact, including Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Vermont, Washington, and Wyoming. The Nurse Licensure Compact, one of the largest compacts, also continued to gain traction as legislatures in states like Michigan put forth legislation to enact the agreement. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania, which passed legislation 2 years ago, began partially implementing the compact in September, allowing nurses with licenses from other compact states to practice there. The compact now comprises over 40 states and territories.
So what can we expect in 2024?
While it's clear states and provinces are looking to determine how to both protect the public interest, but also make licenses more accessible, we know interstate compacts will continue to grow, both as new states join existing compacts and as new compacts are introduced to regulate additional professions. Just a shout out to check in on the Ascend website for a continuing coverage of interstate compacts.
But, of course, this year wasn't all about licensing reform, labor shortages, and interstate compacts. So let's take a look at some of the honorable mentions of the year and consider how they'll play into 2024. Naturally, we saw a continued call for better, more modern digital services in government pretty much across the board. In 2023, government technology trends, as highlighted by Gartner, for instance, emphasized adaptive security, cloud-based legacy modernization, artificial intelligence, and composable government applications. These trends push state CIOs, or chief information officers, to invest in modernization for improved capabilities and leadership priorities. Now, while much of the action around modernization in 2023 can mostly be categorized as good intentions with little substance, as we move into 2024, states, provinces, and regulatory jurisdictions worldwide will of course move incrementally towards modernization and transformation.
We talk a lot about digital currency here on the pod, so what about that? How did discussions around cryptocurrency regulation unfold during the year?
Well, as we know, cryptocurrency regulation discussions were prominent globally. The UK announced plans for formal legislation in 2024. Australia proposed a licensing system, and California established its first licensing rules for crypto companies. The regulations aim to bring crypto activities under similar rules as financial services and enhance accountability broadly. Moving into 2024, we will see a lot more planning around crypto regulation, with some geographies making strides in actually regulating it. However, there needs to be a coming to grips with the fact that crypto, like climate change, like AI, transcends political borders and can only be regulated effectively with global coordination.
We've also talked about many states making it easier for those with criminal backgrounds to get licensed. Can you tell us more about that throughout the year?
Yeah, sure. Several states considered legislation to ease licensure for applicants with criminal convictions. South Carolina Senate, for instance, approved a bill limiting denials based on previous convictions unrelated to the profession at hand. South Dakota explored streamlining licensure for addiction counseling applicants with criminal records. And Georgia proposed a bill to assist applicants in various professions with criminal backgrounds.
We also talk about military and veteran licensing efforts. What can you tell us about that theme?
Yes, states' continued efforts to enhance license mobility for military members and veterans. Pennsylvania's House Bill 404 considered military education and training for EMS providers. North Carolina adopted provisions allowing military members and spouses temporary licensure. And Texas expanded out-of-state occupational licensing reciprocity for military service members and their spouses. I anticipate this will continue in 2024, especially since a number of states haven't sorted out the problem of military spouse license recognition.
What other developments in regulatory areas did we see in 2023?
Well, yeah, rounding out the list would be substantial developments occurring in areas like cannabis regulation, with Colorado allowing online retail. Cybersecurity remained a top concern everywhere all the time throughout the year, prompting the Biden administration's call for harmonizing regulations. Finally, and further to everything you were saying, Sarah, about license mobility, there were also many changes around foreign credential recognition, particularly in Canada, with Nova Scotia, for example, easing licensure requirements for internationally educated professionals. Also, Professional Engineers Ontario removed the Canadian work experience requirement, and the province of Alberta streamlined licensure for internationally educated nurses. These changes aim to expedite licensing processes and address widespread workforce shortages. Well, that's all we have for you this year. Thanks, as always, for listening. To go deeper on the top trends and themes of the year, we encourage you to go to ascend.thentia.com for our yearly roundup of the top trends in licensure. We've also included our end-of-year interview with some of the Globe's top regulatory leaders, so we'd encourage you to check that out as well. Till next year, thanks as always for listening. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sarah.
And a shout out to our producer, Jordan Million. Don't forget to sign up for Ascend Magazine's Weekend Brief. The link is in the show notes. And to subscribe to Ascend Radio. Till next year, stay informed and stay safe.